I'm here with Alexander Mercurs, editor-in-chief of the Durand. Alexander, let's talk about the Duma chemical attack. What is now conclusively, what conclusively appears to have been a staged chemical attack in Syria, that took place, I believe, 2 years ago, if that's correct. And we have some more conclusions, this time from an engineering team that was with the OPCW. And you sent me the story earlier today. And I want to read you a report from this engineering team. It has to do with the two cylinders that they found at the scene. Some people may remember the photos of those cylinders that they found. They were all over the internet. And the assumption back then was that, these bombs fell, from Assad, from the Assad regime. They kind of stayed intact at the location. The photos were all over the web, and I'll put some up on the video for people to see. I'll dig those up. But let me read to you one of the conclusions of the engineering assessment. And it's two bullet points, so let me read it to you. In summary, the analysis at location four showed simply that the cylinder with the fins and valve attached could not have fitted through the hole. The analysis at location two, using finite element analysis and computer simulation, was more complicated. This showed that the concrete slab could not have stopped the cylinder, that if the cylinder had been stopped by the rebars, there would have been indents on the cylinder, and that an impact could not have bent the rebars through more than 90 degrees to the point away from the impact location. In summary, Alexander, the explanation here is that the cylinders were planted and not dropped by Assad. What do you say
Indeed,
to
sir.
this?
Well, indeed, sir. In fact, I think if you look at the assessment carefully, they actually say that all the evidence says that the cylinders were manually placed in position, that they were not dropped from an aircraft. So here we have clear evidence that what happened in Douma was staged. Now, I mean, that's bad enough, given that the media in the West and Western governments treated it as a chemical attack, discounted any suggestion that there had been any kind of staging at all, and launched missile strikes on Syria on that basis. Now, that's already very bad. But what makes it much worse is that a couple of weeks ago, the OPCW, which is the organization under whose aegis this report from these engineers was prepared, provided what they said was a final report into the Douma attack. And though they accepted that there had been no sarin attack, they alleged, though not on very strong grounds, that there had been a chlorine chemical attack. And basically appeared to attribute that to the Syrian government, though they didn't say that explicitly. But what is really concerning is that they omitted this engineering report, this report, which, as I said, gives clear reasons to think that this whole incident was staged. So this is a good example of the OPCW being extremely selective with its evidence, deleting evidence that doesn't support the story that the US and Britain and France were promoting, and including only that evidence, or what they called evidence, which appeared to support that story. So for me, this evidence of the two cylinders says two things. Firstly, I think it's impossible reading this report to doubt any more that some staging took place during the Douma chemical attack. It clearly did. And secondly, the fact that this report was deleted calls into question, at the very least, the impartiality of the OPCW and its ability to conduct these investigations, because clearly they are pursuing an agenda here.
All right. My date was a little wrong. The Duma attack happened on 7 April 2018, or what we
Well
can
then.
now say the staged Duma attack. Alexander, a false flag staged by who?
Well, of course, we haven't got all the evidence because that side of it has not been investigated. The OPCW were not going to look at those sort of things. At that time, anyway, they were not supposed to carry out attributions. But the people who were in control of Duma at the time were a militant, violent jihadi group with an ideology very similar to that of Al-Qaeda. They were in control. They were the people who claimed that a chemical attack was taking place. The White Helmets, who also operate in Al-Qaeda-controlled areas, were there. Presumably, in fact, I didn't say presumably, I mean, I would argue that in such a situation, it is impossible to see who else could have staged it, but the people who were there on the spot, which is, as I said, this violent militant group and the White Helmets.
The difference with Duma, as opposed to the other chemical attacks that happened in Syria, which I think there's a lot of evidence to say that those were also staged and false flags. I think the difference with the Duma attack was that the OPCW did have access to the scene of the crime. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. That is the fundamental difference. If you go back to the two other big incidents which have happened, the one in East Ghouta in 2013, which almost led to the United States in President Obama's time launching a massive strike against Syria, and the Khan Sheikhoun attack, which took place in April 2017. Well, East Ghouta was only reoccupied or liberated, if you prefer, by the Syrian government last year. And that's to say 5 years after the event, the attack happened. Whilst the Khan Sheikhoun, where the other attack took place 2 years ago, that is still under Al-Qaeda control. Whereas with Duma, Duma was liberated or reoccupied by the Syrian army literally the day after the attack took place. The Syrians and the Russian military flooded the area with their security forces and made it possible for the OPCW inspectors to go there. Now, they dragged their heels about going there. They insisted that they weren't fully safe to go there, even though journalists like Robert Fisk were going there. But they did eventually go there within a few days after the attack took place, and they were able to inspect the scene, the actual scene of the events, as they did with this, where these two cylinders were, and do proper forensic tests and carry out a proper forensic examination without risk of the evidence being tampered or changed. So that is the fundamental difference. That's a point that I made right from the outset of this affair, that, as I said, whereas in Duma it was possible to look and see what happened in the previous places, it wasn't. And after an inspection, we see what the result is. Clear evidence that the attack, that events after the attack or during the attack were staged, and most worryingly, conclusive evidence that the OPCW sat on this report and didn't publish it as part of its final findings.
Yeah, I think you're correct that Fisk was able to go there and debunk a lot of this fairly quickly. So was the One American Network, you know, which is a fairly big channel, conservative channel in the U.S. Yes. as well. They had a reporter there, and he debunked
Absolutely.
It as well.
Absolutely, and, within hours.
Yeah,
within hours.
And the narrative started to fall apart fairly quickly. But we still almost went to we almost had a war or conflict. Trump almost escalated things to a conflict in Syria, which would have meant a conflict, most likely, with Russia. And the mainstream media was pushing Trump. I mean, you know, they were very insistent, very manipulative in getting Trump to launch strikes against Syria. What does this teach us now, especially in the backdrop of what appears to be another false flag in the Persian Gulf? with Iran and with the UAE and Saudi Arabia tankers?
Well, what it teaches us, first of all, is that we should wait for proper investigations to take place before leaping to conclusions. And that leaping to conclusions also means leaping to conclusions which result in attacks. Because, of course, the missile strikes on Syria took place both after the Khan Sheikhoun attack and after the alleged Douma attack, within hours, long before any investigators were there and were able to inspect the scene. In Khan Sheikhoun, by the way, they never went to the scene. They've never been there. So, you know, one should not assume that what violent jihadis say and what organizations like the White Helmets say is true. And one should certainly not follow, accept as evidence, videos that such groups upload, which are very easily manipulated to give a distorted image of what actually happened. Now, the other thing I've got to say is, and I'm glad you touched on the media, because I remember, especially after the Douma attack, reading some extraordinary articles in the media suggesting that the United States should impose a no-fly zone, should attack every Syrian military base, should launch an all-out attack on Syria, disregarding the presence of the Russians there. I think that would have been an utterly reckless and disastrous step. It was the Pentagon and the U.S. Defense Secretary General Mattis who apparently managed to dissuade Trump from taking such a disastrous step. Just consider what it would have meant if such a thing had been done. We'd ended up in a shooting war with the Russians over an incident which is now staged, we now know is staged. I think that the people in the news media in the West have a great deal to answer for. They nearly brought us into a violent confrontation, and we only escaped it through the skin of our teeth because some people in the Pentagon are pushed back against it. And I will add and finish by saying that what is bizarre and incredible and outrageous is that this report, this engineering report, as I said, which gives clear evidence that the episode, the cylinders were manually planted. You will read through all of the Western media, The Guardian, The Times, The New York Times, The Washington Post. You won't find anything about it there.
Yeah, well, I think the media is paid to get us into conflicts, that's for sure. And it shouldn't surprise anybody that you have more fake news coming out of The Guardian and the New York Times and CNN and MSNBC and all these channels that were trying to push the United States towards war with Syria and with Russia. I mean, I think that's their ultimate goal. That's what they're paid to do, is to push out fake news and propaganda.
Well, there we go. I mean, that's the other lesson to take away from this. I mean, the media are not to be trusted in this kind of story. They are basically propaganda war outlets. I mean, they want war. They're always agitating for war. They want attacks on everybody, everywhere, all the time. I still remember Zakaria talking about how after the Khan Sheikhoun attack, he felt for the first time that Donald Trump was the president of the United States. These people have an agenda which they are following also, and their treatment of the evidence of what happened in Douma, like their previous treatment of the evidence of what happened in East Ghouta and Khan Sheikhoun, tells its own story.
Yeah. And we won't be seeing CNN and MSNBC and The Guardian banned from Facebook,
No.
deplatformed either,
No.
even though they
No, of
got
course.
it wrong once again.
Of course they did. I mean, and as they won't admit it, they won't be
They
deplatformed,
won't report it.
they won't report it. In fact, I predict, as night follows day, that they will continue to claim that there was a chemical attack in Khan Sheikhoun and in Douma. And I wouldn't be surprised if before very long I see more articles citing these cylinders, these two gas cylinders that have been found in Douma as evidence of that chemical attack, even though we now know from this report that they are no such thing.
Yeah, well, if they cite those as evidence, all I can tell our viewers is just point them to this video.
Exactly.
That's it. All right. Alexander McCurse, editor-in-chief of The Deran. Thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on that notifications bell to get notifications every time we push out a new video. And visit The Deran shop. Pick up a t-shirt. Help support The Deran. You can also get a copy of this video in audio format. Follow us on iTunes and on SoundCloud as well. You can also follow us on Instagram, theduran_com. And don't forget to subscribe to our channel on Blank Chat. You can download the apps. The links are in the description box down below. Go to theduran.com and see the articles that Alexander is linking up to every day. Alexander McCurse, editor-in-chief of The Deran. Thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.